The Lord really touched me. You know, 6 months ago, ladies, I was sitting down there just behind Rose at the Sydney Ladies' House Party, and we were having a lovely time. And the message was John 14. Most of us would know that's the comfort chapter. And then we went on to John 15, and we went home. That day I left my husband babysitting the children, and we got home a bit late. And the words that we sang before we left here was, "Lord, I love you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you." And you know, those were the only words that I could think of, the only song, and I'd only ever heard about twice before, it was the only song that I could sing during the days that followed. And I just thank God for that. And the ladies at the house party probably didn't realise the song lady, when they were singing it, what it was going to mean for me, because to be able to praise the Lord in what was to come. And I was able to do just that. That night, we got home, and my husband was meant to go on duty at 4 o'clock or something. We didn't get home until about 5 or something like that. So it was a quick kiss on the cheek and off you go, you know, goodbye. And I got the children off to bed and I went to bed myself. 10 o'clock that night, I got a knock on the front door, or I didn't hear the knock, I heard, "Marlene, Marlene," you know. And I thought, no, that's funny, because nobody ever comes to the front of our house. They always come to the back. And then I thought, "Oh, go away, go away," you know. And then I finally got out, and there I met the two of the boys from Toronto Police Station. And I opened the door. I said, "Oh, they must want to use the phone." And, of course, one of them standing there, "Sit down, sit down." You know, and I knew when policemen say sit down that something's happened, you know. I said, "Oh," you know, and they said, "Eddie's had a slight accident. He's been shot in the foot." Oh, and I thought he did it himself. He thinks I'm a bit stupid, and I am too. And then they turned around and they said, "Look, Doug's been shot too," and I thought, "Oh, that's a bit more serious. I hope they sort of weren't playing with their guns and sort of, you know." I didn't think of robbers or anything. Being a policeman's wife, I'm pretty dumb, aren't I? And anyhow, while the boys were there, they rang the hospital just to see how Eddie was, and then they told me he'd been shot through the buttocks, and I thought, "Oh, he's going to be sore." Went from the foot to the buttocks. And anyhow, that was okay. Then I didn't know what to do. They left, because when they were on the phone, they heard that Doug had died. And I let those boys go out. I was in shock, I suppose. And those boys had only heard, one of them had only just got out of bed to go and search for these fellows. And they were in shock, and they went their way. Then I sat down, I said, "Now what am I going to do?" And I just didn't know, and I thought, "Oh, better bring me good old mother-in-law." Oh, don't, not old. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I better ring Mum. She might be able to tell me what to do. And I was glad that I did, because she told me to go and get help, and help was just down the road. And it's wonderful to have a Christian family like John and Lorna just there. And we went into the hospital, and then when we got just out of Toronto and these big roadblocks up, and that sort of, my stomach started to, you know, go all funny. And we got into the hospital, Eddie was lying there, he had blood on his pillow, and I thought, "Oh, that's funny," you know, he didn't tell me anything about that. So that was the grave, and he was lying there very still. But you know, before I'd gone to bed that night, I did something that I don't always do. I read through the notes that I'd taken that day, and the words that came out, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." And I claimed those verses. Before I went to bed, I went over it all. And then when I got this news, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid," how wonderful God is. And I went in there, and Eddie was lying so still, he was getting blood, he could hardly talk. And you know, I didn't think for one moment he was going to die. I don't know why. It puzzles me now to think, you know, I wasn't even concerned that he might have died, and he could have easily gone, when I think back at the conversation that we had. And he was shot, a shotgun pellet went in his head there and out there. A shotgun pellet also went in there. Doug, 17 pellets were taken from Doug's stomach. Eddie either stumbled or ducked. He's not sure what he did. And if he had been upright, he could have had more than just two pellets in the top of his head, you know, in this part of his body. He was shot from behind through with a pistol, but down there, coming right up the top here, another one down here and up there. And you know, not an artery was touched, not a bone, kept by the power of God. How wonderful our God is. And I just praise him. I don't understand why he put me in this situation. But he did for a purpose, I believe, that there were many Christians praying, and thank you for your prayers, ladies. They weren't just praying for me, but they were praying for Judy and her children. They were praying for the men that did it. And I just thank God that he put us in that situation so people would be aware. You know, these things happen every day and we don't take much notice of them unless it happens to somebody that we know. And you know, there's much prayer gone up with this situation, and I know God's going to bring glory out of it. And I only had 5 minutes alone with my husband all that week, and it was a bit on the Monday when we went in. They had a policeman there with a walkie-talkie radio and a guard on his room, and because we'd been getting threats over the telephone, apparently, I didn't know of any, but they'd disconnected our phone, and this is the reason. And it was a bit like TV, you know. It's getting a bit creepy now. Anyhow, when they caught those fellows, there was a lot going on, and I knew the hatred in the hearts of the men because their mate had been killed, you know, but I sort of didn't know how to feel when I found out about these men. And these are the verses that I got, because everybody's, you know, saying, oh, they should be shot, you know, we get them, we'll do this with them, we'll do that with them, they were evil, they had all these guns, and so they did. But we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers. And it's the power of Satan. And he's got this power in their lives. And the verses that I went to, because it was concerning me, that I didn't sort of really feel anything for these people. And here's the verses that I got. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And you know, when I read that, I thought, Lord, thank you for giving me this peace about these people. Thank you for giving me a concerning love for them. And it didn't matter after that what people said, that we got some lovely, well, some letters from some strange people who had strange ideas about what should happen to these men. And yet I could just look at them through the eyes of our Lord, what he does to our lives. Ladies, I couldn't love people. One boy in court said he saw Eddie and he wanted to kill him because he was going to be able to pimp on him, tell on him. And yet God kept Eddie. And yet I've got no hatred in my heart, and it's something that just passes my understanding, and I just thank God for it. But when I read God's word like that, and he tells me something, I've got to do it, don't I? It's no good me going around and saying, well, I hate them and all this, because I can't. Well, the Lord undertook in that situation, and then 10 weeks later, we were on holidays up at Moosa Head. And the day we left, I had a phone call from my mum. She wanted to know how Eddie was, because it was the day that he'd gone to the first hearing of the court. And we went away, and when we were at Noosa Heads, we got a nice foreign policeman, Queensland policeman, came and knocked on the door of our tent, if you can do such a thing, with the news that my mother had passed away. And, excuse me for a minute, but the Lord just came in then and filled a need. He prepared me not for the five, incidentally, I went to 5 funerals in the week that Eddie was shot. And at each one of those funerals, there was, let not your heart be troubled, came into the message. And I got this thing, and of course it came back, and I could see why God was preparing me at this lady's house party. Joan Lang spoke on death, how the Lord comes and we go through it with him. We don't go through it alone. There's nothing to worry about. And you know, I had to go, and of course my family live in New Zealand, and we were 300 miles away from home in a tent, my husband with 4 children. What were we to do? And I was able to, we had some lovely people on holidays with us, and I just thank God that they were there and they helped out. And we were able to, I was able to fly home to New Zealand. And you know, we buried Mum 18 years, almost to the exact time that we buried Dad. And the verse that I got on my calendar that day was, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Isn't the Lord just so wonderful? And Mum's funeral, you know, I'd never seen a dead person, and I wasn't really facing up to the fact that Doug had died and then Alan and Ray had died in a funeral going home from the shooting. They were killed in a car crash. And I couldn't understand this, and I couldn't understand death. I knew that you went to be with the Lord, but how, Lord, you know, my mind was just full of things. And so my brother said, well, I'll leave the casket open, you can have a look. Mum looked lovely, she went to sleep. So I said, I'll go up from youngest. So I wasn't going up from youngest sake, you know. I said, no, I don't need to. I'll remember her as living. And, you know, I walked up and I had to go around for a second look. Like, it's a bit strange, isn't it, for a person. And when I looked down there and saw my mother, the one who'd reared me and loved me and looked after me all those years, and yet I could look on her body and know. And it wasn't until I looked on my mother's body that I knew that she was present with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I didn't understand that until I looked at her. You could have told me anything about death. I'd sort of know in a sort of fashion that I couldn't understand it, but as soon as I looked at her and I knew that she was present with the Lord. And you know, the joy and the peace that came into my heart that day. What was the word of the hymn? Face to face will I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. And that, just to see Mum there in the presence of our Lord, how wonderful it was. God's day. He'd taken her home to be with himself, and how could I be sad? And you know, the joy and the tremendous love that the Lord showed me, I couldn't understand why he would choose to prepare me for all this. You know, he prepared me in such a wonderful way. I can't help but just thank him for it. And yet, you know, I'd said on one of the house parties that we were going to, that if anything happened to my husband, I'd go straight home to New Zealand to live. Well, while I was in New Zealand, I had to clean Mum's house. She was in a government house. You know, I went there and then I was sticking out all the nails after I pulled the carpet up. I didn't want to let go. Who of us does want to let go of their home? And you know, when I was on that plane coming back, in Auckland Airport, there's a big long corridor. You have to walk all by yourself, and I had to turn around and say, bye-bye to everyone, you know. And I'm one of seven, and it makes it very hard. And I was up in that plane and I just felt, I didn't really want to come back to Australia. Isn't that a terrible thing to say, to be standing out here so many Australians? But I just didn't want to come back. Because there's just, I don't know, something about home. We're all the same, really. I love Australia, but it's just something about where you grow up and all that. But I knew that when I left this time, might have had to be final. I was having to say to God, well, Lord, if you want me there in Australia, you have me there and I'm happy. And that was hard to say. And I was up there, it must have been about an hour and a half, bawling my eyes out in the plane. And then I looked over at the hills and the gold, sort of the sun around them, and I thought, it was almost like heaven. I just wanted to get out the window and walk across, you know. But I had to come face to face with the Lord there. I had to say, Lord, just take everything. Because I felt quite insecure then. I know I've got a good husband and that, but, you know, when you lose your own mother and your family situation's gone, you've sort of got to grow up, you know. Even though she was miles away. And the first thing, when I sort of finally did give over to the Lord, as we're coming in, the pilot said, now, the people on the left-hand side of the plane will get a good view of Sydney shortly. Those on the right-hand will be passing over the top of the Hawkesbury. Well, I saw two clouds. And what's these things? I thought they were clouds in here. And when we got close, I could see it was land around water. And do you know what I believe it was? Wanji and Tuggera Lake, because if we were high enough up in that big jumbo to be flying right over the top of the Hawkesbury, I was high enough to see that. And isn't God wonderful? I didn't want to come back to Australia. I was sitting in that plane, and as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, I couldn't wait to get off, you know? And but this is how God can change something that's so traumatic into something that's so wonderful, because he has just done that for me. I had to leave problems back in New Zealand, and only this last week I've seen my sister. She was on her way back to New Guinea. She wasn't able to get home for the funeral. And she's told how God is working in the life of my family, ones who have been away from the Lord for a long time, or perhaps might never have known him. And through taking Mum, he's drawn them. A brother who's a homosexual. Take that, ladies. He's trusting the Lord now, and so is his mate. So if God can do things like that, and I just praise him for just what he has done. And you know, when I came back, that wasn't the end of it. A few weeks later, we had to front up at court. Because we're too sticky, we had to go. I had to go, actually, just to see what the people looked like. And I get in there, and of course, when they came up, I got the shock of my life. There was a man there, and he just looked, poor little man, with his, you know, smartly dressed and two lovely, fine-looking fellows. And I looked down at them, and I said, why, Lord? Why did it have to be? Why did Duck have to die for such a... I don't know why, but this is what it was. And these men came out there, and I looked at them, and then, of course, we sat there, and our bottoms got sore, and listen, we didn't go the next day. We went in to see Rita Galley draw this year, didn't we? And that was the day they slung up their arms and said that they were guilty. And then the next day we went in for sentencing, you know, and it took my mind back to Jesus. When he was down here on this earth, and he was taken to be crucified, and you know, in that courthouse you could sense the hatred of the people towards those men. When the shooting, the time came, the people were absolutely marvellous to Judy and I. There wasn't anything. And incidentally too, if Edie had died then, I don't think I could have gone back to New Zealand because of the love of the people that were around me. That people did, the love that was shown. But you know, in that courthouse there was hate. Terrible, terrible hate. And you know, I sort of went, my heart went out to them. Those boys didn't actually speak at all. All they said the first day was not guilty, Your Honour, and the day they said guilty, Your Honour, they didn't get up and testify or anything. We didn't hear their voices other than that. And one of those boys was paying for the price of his father's sin. His bullets didn't actually touch Eddie or Doug. He was the one that was going out to kill Eddie, but he was as good a shot as Eddie was. He didn't get anywhere. And hope he doesn't... What's going on tape? Nobody play the tape to Eddie, would it? But anyhow, but that boy's in jail for the rest of his life. A young boy of 19, paying for the sin of his father, and yet it was in his heart, because he said if Dad was out there to stop if anyone that came, he was going to stop them from doing anything. And that kid got out there with his gun, they just went bang, bang, bang. I think they must have thought they were on television, but it is serious, ladies. They went and they were condemned. And you know, the people in Christ's day must have had just as much hatred for Barabbas or anyone else that had been killed. And you know, they chose him rather than Christ. And to me, that came out in that courthouse. Most people in there hated them. I hated not them, but what they had done. But I could love them through the eyes of Christ. But Christ was in a courthouse like that, and he opened not his mouth, just for you and for me. And I just thank him for the opportunity to see through this thing. I see through Doug, a young man in the prime of life, taken, his life taken, because he, for no fault of his own, because of the wickedness of this world. And yet you know, Doug was about the same age as our Lord when he hung on that cross for us. And all this situation takes me back to my blessed Lord Jesus, and I look at him and I say, Lord, why did you prepare me? And this last week we've been hearing Mr. Boswell, and just in closing, I've got a verse here that my answer came this week, not before time. And you know, ladies, when the ladies asked me to give my testimony here, they didn't know my mum was going to die. They didn't know any of this. They only knew that Eddie had been shot. And yet how God just undertakes for us, and he just loves us so much. And this verse here, in Isaiah 43, when you pass, no, hang on, do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you, and through rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will a flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honoured, and I love you. Isn't that wonderful? I couldn't understand why God would really, think about me so much, because I'm just another dumb old housewife up there, Wanji. But he loves me, and I'm honoured in his sight. And I just thank him for this opportunity to share him with you. And ladies, nothing is too big for God. And I look forward now. I think of the times in these past months, I've just had to lay everything at the Lord's feet. And you know, on Friday, my little girl came and wanted to know how she could trust the Lord. That's one for you, Linda. She's in Linda's Sunday school class, and she came and she was concerned about going to heaven. And even if all this was just for little Deidre, I just thank the Lord. Thank you.